Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hump Day edition of the Donna and Steve Show.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Mr.
Rosebud.
Okay, we just announced, or we just heard the announcement for Project Down and Dirty.
It is a dream come true.
This is going to be fun. I'm a little scared, not going to lie.
Of course.
I want to come up with a good story.
Donna.
What? You got a story?
No, but we'll come up with a story. Yeah, today's a day to just sit in the enjoyment.
I wasn't listening. Is it, what is it again?
Project Down and Dirty Film Fest. Okay. Happening September 28th through September 30th. And we could not be more excited about this. It's going to be wonderful. Like, we're all going to work together. We will, of course, do what we always do, broadcast together, while each show writes, acts, shoots, and produces a short comedy film. All four films.
Oh, is it comedy? They're all comedy. Oh.
All four. So sorry, Donna. There goes your murder mystery.
Damn it.
All four films will be shown film fest style at two theaters at Showplace Icon Theaters at the West End on September 30th. This is going to be very exciting because we will all work on the movie together. We will have to write it. We will have experts coming in to offer assistance for us, of course. But we will have to really like lean in and figure out who's helping with screenwriting. Is anybody helping with editing? Are we helping build sets? What's going on? I think they're going to be providing background actors for us.
Awesome. Wow. This is so fun.
And we'll do like a red carpet situation, the whole thing. And when we say those two theaters at Showplace, Icon Theaters in the West End, I think that means two screens so that, because, you know, each movie theater probably holds about, I don't know, 200 or 300 people, something like that. So we're probably doing two screens, not to show different movies at different times, but so that we can bring more people in to the party. So it's going to be really, really fun. Have you ever been in a short film?
Go ahead. I know you asked Donna, the answer I'll step is no. in here. I've been part of the 48-Hour Film Festival a couple times now, where on Friday you find out your genre and a prop you need to use and a character you need to use, and then by, like, Sunday, you need to have a finished product.
Whoa, okay.
And, so I'm good. I think we're going to nail this.
Well, Rocco's a great writer.
An actor.
Not so much, but really great writer. I was listening to your production. I used to be a really good writer, but I'm out of practice. But I was listening to your story of Alexis.
Oh, right.
Alexis.
Burying Lex.
Have you ever heard this, Steve?
No.
It is so funny and so good and so dramatic. And there's so many different elements to it. And Rocco put a lot of work into it.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. And so we will assign you to the screenwriting. Thank you. Goodbye.
And Steve's... you know, massive arms. I mean, are you sure we can't do an action?
We could do an action comedy.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Something like that.
A Schwarzenegger thing.
You know, it's funny. I just actually, just 2 days ago, speaking of background actors, I randomly searched Diabolique, which is a remake. Sharon Stone and Chaz Palminteri were in this in 1996 or 7.
All right, here it goes.
Came out.
All right.
I realized that it was on Amazon Prime. And so you have to be very selective when showing your young children certain scenes from the movie. But Rocco, you may or may not know that I was an Irish Catholic schoolboy in the background in 3 separate scenes, including one where you distinctly hear me say, "Ooh, me."
Wow.
So I'm just saying,
what were you reacting to?
Sharon Stone at this scene was the volleyball had gone into the pool where, spoiler alert, they had buried Chaz Palminteri. They killed him. Or they thought they did. Then the volleyball goes in. We got to go and get the net. Let's get it from the pool house. Who wants to go get the net from the pool house? And all of us Irish Catholic schoolboys are like, "Well, that sounds like fun." Oh, me. You hear me? Did I get paid for a speaking line? I did not.
Can we actually hear this? Do you know at what point of the movie?
You would really need to be. I could pull it up. It's better when you see it and I can point and say, "Listen for the ooh me." But if you're going to push me like this, Donna, and already call into question my acting chops, I will find it for you, and we will listen to the dramatic scene where I say, ooh, me, and was not paid. Mm. Was not paid for a speaking line, because this was just in the moment. First moment, you're just responding to the scene as an actor. So I'll probably lead the way, I guess, with the acting stuff. Rocco will do the writing stuff, and Donna maybe... Mm.
I will be the starlet. I mean, let's be honest about this. I mean,
you're our damsel in distress.
Yes, I'll be on the railroad tracks, tied up. And, yes. Oh, help! Help!
Oh, so we're going old school here.
Yes.
And I'm like a hitchhiker with a hobo with a polka dot handkerchief hanging off the back of the stick.
Yes.
And I'm the guy on the train that's like climbing underneath it, trying to get the dynamite out of there.
Yes.
This is going to be good.
I could see you as the train conductor.
I was just going to say, I'm actually seeing you in the train.
Why have we suddenly committed to a train
plot? I don't know. See, this is how our brains work. It's going to be super fun.
Again, the dates are, you can go to mytalk1071.com and see this for yourself. The dates are September 28th through September 30th. It is Project Down and Dirty Film Fest. To my knowledge, this is the earliest that we've ever been given notice of when this is. This is before the state fair, ladies and germs.
Yeah, usually it happens during the fair.
I think
during,
it's 'cause our boss needed a week off or something.
Yeah,
you're probably right. Whatever. Well, and it's also pushed up. We usually do this in October.
And now we're doing this at the end of September, which is very exciting. And don't forget, Project Down and Dirty, if you don't know, it's an award-winning, essentially, reality on the radio show that we do that has raised almost $900,000 for Twin Cities Charity. So we think this is the year
that
we're going to go over $1 million raised for Twin Cities Charities, which is really wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Should we go? I mean... What are we doing here?
Hey,
I mean, we're movie stars.
Well, it's already written. I mean, we got the hobo and the conductor and the damsel.
And there you go. We're done. All right. See you guys in September.
Donna.
What?
And we are partnering up, it looks like, with Face to Face.
Yes. Sounds like an amazing organization, and we're all going to learn more and more about it together.
I can't wait.
As time goes on. And yeah, there's a lot of great organizations. So you have an opportunity to help them out. I went to Fringe Fest yesterday.
Oh my God.
And saw our buddy Jason Schomer's performance,
which is
called Curtain Call, Letters to My Friend Louie.
Yes.
And it was really sweet. Really, really good. Really good. There's so many different, while we're speaking of the arts, there's so many different shows that you can go to. So you should definitely check those out. So that was fun.
Oh, that's great.
Nice. Wonderful. And that was at the theater in the round?
Twas.
Yeah, we had him on the air. Don't act surprised. I listened to what he had to say.
Oh, I didn't realize you listened.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so wait, time check. 9/11, Rocco got snippy for the first time.
Well, she gave me a look like, whoa, how did you know that?
Jeez, Rocco.
Donna, he doesn't know.
Every day he comes in with the crab.
It's, he's going to have to be a lobster in our
yogurt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, and they're going to give us elements, film. Like Rocco was saying, that we have to include.
Okay.
Point or dialogue that has to be included.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like the 48-Hour Film Festival. You know who was in our 48-Hour Film Festival? Sarge.
Oh, good old Sarge.
Could we get Sarge as one of our featured background?
Oh my God, he'll be a tree.
Yes.
Sarge will be a background.
How about this? Sarge is buried deep in the background of every single scene.
You have to find him. We'll play a game of Find Sarge.
Oh, yes, searching for Sarge.
Oh, now we got our sequel.
All right.
I like it.
Here's what we're going to do. We have all sorts of stuff planned. 11:30, the Millennial X Games come up. It's Wednesday, so we like to do that there. We'll play Culture Knowledge.
The Millennial X Games?
I actually thought he sounded all right this time.
No, he said Millennial X Games.
You're a baby talk shamer.
Sorry.
When we come back, we're going to do things that make you go, huh? Walt Disney's last words were the name of an actor who had just signed a 10-year deal with Disney and is still alive and working today.
Huh.
Actor... were the last words of actor's name were the last words of Walt Disney. We'll tell you when we come back. Donna and Steve on My Talk. What's up, guys? It's Steve for Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. We just found out Project Down and Dirty this year is Film Fest. I don't know. Can we get some people from Chanhassen Dinner Theaters to come help us out? They could be cameos. They could be really teach us some things about acting. They're acting each and every night on the main stage. Footloose is on that stage and audiences are loving it. Critics are loving it. It's getting great response, which is why they have a couple of months ago now extended the run. It's going to be on their stage through the first week of February. So get your tickets. You can fill up the rest of your summer with some live theater, which is so wonderful that we're back and enjoying that. We also have a rotating concert series at Chanasson Dinner Theaters. This upcoming weekend, Jennifer Grimm sings Judy Garland. That's on Sunday. A couple days before, on Friday, The Evolution of Music, Jazz, Blues, and Soul. And Stevie Ray's Comedy Cabaret, dishing out laughs every Friday and Saturday night. Tickets, only $28.
Hello! Welcome back. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1.
We're Love talking. Me too, it's fun. Or just the listeners?
You're fine.
All right.
Anyway,
Donna,
you're good.
Donna's upset right now. She can't. She didn't bring her, quote, nubby to work. Actually, we should stop right there. Hang on. We should stop right there and say, if someone says to you, oh, I didn't bring my nubby.
What do you
I can't
think,
buy my nubby.
What do you think I'm talking about? Send us an email and then we'll uncover the truth.
So again,
by the end
Donna,
of this segment.
During the commercial break, looking in her bag, I'll tell you that. And, oh, I didn't bring my nubby. What do I do without my nubby? How do I get this to work without my nubby?
And I'm like, Hannah, do you have a nubby? She's like, no, I don't have a nub.
No, don't say anything else. Let's stop right there. Email us, Don and Steve Show, at mytalk1071.com. If you email us right, you'll win nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we'll take your guesses just for funsies. Things that make you go,
things that make you go. Okay, I think I find this to be interesting. People's last words, you know, before you die.
Rosebud.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
Sure.
Citizen Kane.
You got it, buddy. Don't tell anybody what it was.
I don't know what it was. I have no idea what that reference is. I've never seen the movie.
Okay, great.
Even though it's like number one on the AFI film list of
it's
top 100
terrible.
Movies of all time.
Yeah, don't pay attention to that stuff.
However.
Yeah, it's just, oh God, it's so long.
Here's something I've said out loud a couple of times in the last week. As we've had conversations, my wife and I, about connecting with people you haven't connected with in a while and all that. And sometimes if you haven't connected with someone in a while, you might be thinking, oh, well, if I reach out now, fill in the blank, you know, they'll wonder why I haven't before, or maybe won't be reciprocated in the same way, or too much time has passed. No one on their deathbed has ever uttered the phrase, I'm glad I didn't reach out. So if you have someone in your life that you've thought, oh, I should reach out to them, I should connect with them, it's been too long, but the fact that it's been too long is making you hesitate from reaching out. No one on their deathbed ever says, I'm glad I didn't reach out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
I bring up death talk because Walt Disney, his last words were the name of an actor. At this point, Walt had lost the ability to speak, so he wrote them on a piece of paper. He was probably thinking of movie ideas, since this actor had just signed a 10-year contract with Disney. This actor, still alive. Still working. What was the name of the actor that were the last written words of Walter Disney?
What year did he die again?
I believe he died in 19... Hang on, let me get this. 67? 5?
Marlon Brando. Thank you.
Jeff Bridges. Because he was in a Disney movie.
That's closer, true. Rocco.
Okay, let me try Kurt Dennis Russell. Quaid.
Yes, Rocco got
you
it.
You got it!
Kurt
Yay!
Russell.
I was almost 100% joking.
Isn't it funny, too, that I said you're close with Jeff Bridges and so you went to Kurt Russell?
Because I often get them mixed up.
So do I. Yeah.
Long hair, good looks, winsome. Walt Disney's last words were Kurt Russell.
He was like, please make Big Trouble in Little China. No,
I don't get it.
What about
it.
the Santa Chronicles, the Claus Chronicles?
I feel like Kurt Russell was young in a Disney movie. Wasn't he a young child actor?
He was. I was just looking that up.
And I think he was in some old school Disney videos too, like showcasing Disneyland or Disneyland, I think it was. Like, here's how the Jungle Cruise works. Like, hey, and it was Kurt Russell, but it was obviously before people knew him as one Curtis Russell.
Yeah, he was in the computer, wore tennis shoes, the horse in the gray flannel suit. Those were in the 60s. Weird.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's been something for Kurt Russell. to hear, you know.
Really good in The Hateful Eight. Tarantino.
Okay, we have a couple nubby guesses.
Wait. Kurt Russell has also played, he was in Miracle on Ice, right?
Yeah, he was our St. Paul's own Herb Brooks.
He did a great job. Okay, thanks.
So it's Herb when it's a name, and it's Herb when it's an herb. I think that English is too difficult.
I think so, too. I told you whenever I arrive to pick up a friend or meet a friend, I always just send meet an email that says, I am Herb.
Because it auto-corrected once. Yes, I meant to say I am here.
And every time I type, I am here, again, it would go back to the B. I am Herb. See, I am Herb. So now I just go, I you know what? If you can't beat them, so join them.
The difference between you and me, Donna, is you do it selectively so that it still maintains its punch.
Right.
I would, for a three-month stretch, replace every time I say the word here with Herb. Are you Herb yet? You know,
my wife and I call each other fork because back in the early days of texting, it would autocorrect to dork to fork.
Oh, that's funny.
So when it goes up dork, oop, fork. So now we call each other, you know, what's up?
That's
fork?
Cute. See, lean into it, right?
Just lean in. Come on, Steve.
First email guest, Nubby. Donna said, oh, I didn't bring my Nubby. Where's my Nubby? How do I get this to work without my Nubby? And the first person suggested that it was blanky, like a support blanky.
Oh, that's good.
Patty got it. Nubby guess. The connector for an iPhone to use headphones. I call it a nubby. Now, that's technically not it.
No.
But it's the connecting point for the charger.
For the outlet in the wall.
That, Rocco, I think the connector for the headphones is called a dongle.
Okay, gotcha. I
think. A what?
A dongle.
Which I can see why.
I thought you said...
What did you think?
I thought you ended that first part with hole.
Oh, whoa.
I was like, what is that?
See,
mean?
Now that's the thing about English, too. Like, dongle sounds like weird and clunky, but it's fine. Dong hole would not be wonderful. Guys, okay, I have other things to make you go.
No, we don't care. Okay. Speaking of, people are asking, why was Rocco touching his dog's butt the other day? I'm like, they're like, what? Why is he like.
We were just, you know, snuggling in the morning.
And your eyes were
fur.
Closed?
Yeah, I didn't know what part of the dog it was. I was just like, oh, look, I feel a burr in your fur. Let me pull it out. Oh, wait, that's a poop dingleberry.
Oh, my God. We're falling off the rails. All right, what else you got, Steve? You got like 48 seconds.
Well, I just got an update from Millennial Hannah, who is getting me picking up breakfast for me downstairs, that they don't have any breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, they do have a
I'm
sausage.
I'm doing the skillet.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the skillet.
Do the skillet. Hey, wait on a
gobble. No. All right,
sorry.
Can't do that.
We're working that into our film, by the way. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
The little red-haired girl, Charlie Brown's unattainable crush, was based off of a woman that Charles Schulz briefly dated, but who ultimately married a different guy.
Aw, that's so sad. Probably so many sad undertones.
Wait on a couple of we'll How about right once back. Every scene we have to say? We'll be back. This is. It's
good morning, everyone. Welcome back. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. I want to see what you guys think of this. Mm-hmm. I'd actually like to hear from women to see what they think of this. Mindy Kaling.
Kaling.
What did I say? Kaling?
Kaling. Kaling.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. You know what? I should put my glasses on.
What if they got together?
Oh, God, that would not be good. Mindy Kaling. Kaling. Has two kids.
She's so funny. We all know her and love her from The Office.
So funny. A very talented writer as well. Somebody should get her on the horn for our Twin Cities.
I don't think we're going to be able to get Mindy Kaling.
Well, you never know. Right. Anyway, she's got a 4-year-old daughter, a 2-year-old son. She's 43, and she waited to have kids until she felt ready. Now, she's single, I believe, and she thinks all women should do the same thing with their parents' help. She said, I wish every 19-year-old girl would come home from college and that the gift, instead of buying them jewelry or a vacation or whatever, is that their parents would take them to freeze their eggs.
Ooh.
She said they could do that once.
Happy 19th. We're going to go freeze your eggs.
Have all their eggs, you know, all these eggs for them, for their futures, to focus in their 20s and 30s on their career. And yes, you know, but to know that when you're emotionally ready and if you don't have a partner, you still can have children. I kind of...
Me ask question now.
Likey.
if you freeze your eggs and then you, the eggs, let's make sure Steve understands science. You then need a sperm donor. Those will all come together, have a party. And then that, and then through artificial insemination, they would, but like in this case, the woman who has the eggs frozen at 19, hypothetically, and then decides at 44, family time, I'm ready.
Yep.
She would still carry the baby.
That would be the choice of
that's one of her options, right? Or you could have someone else, a surrogate. Yes. You don't see a lot of surrogates.
You do, but they just don't come out and go, hi, everybody, I'm a surrogate. You know what I mean? Like, I know someone who's a surrogate who's helped out
I wonder
a
what
couple of times.
Percentage of pregnant women have been surrogates. It's got to be less than 1%.
Do we have anybody out there? Love to hear from you.
Interesting. Yeah. What
you,
a, what
you could
an
be anonymous
journey.
If you would like.
Experience that must be like. Wasn't Phoebe a surrogate on Friends?
I never made it that far into the series. Oh. Like, I never made it to whatever wedding happened. Oh. I got to a point where I was like, now she's dating him? Wasn't
Rachel said Ross's name at the wedding, but she was not marrying Ross.
Was she marrying a random person?
Nope. Or Ross said Rachel's name at the wedding, but he was not marrying Rachel.
Oh, that's so sad. I never got those two. They don't seem like a couple.
Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, I think Rachel should have been with Matthew Perry's character.
Well, they ended up having a little romance later in the show, and I did not feel okay about it.
Really?
I'm very pro-Ross. Very pro. Ross is one of my favorite characters.
He was my least favorite on the show.
Correct.
That's a bummer.
He just seems like maybe his dad's in the business and got him the gig.
No, he is so talented. His comedic delivery gets better with each passing year. It's so good.
But how many people, Jennifer Aniston was like the hottest person on the planet in the 90s, and she got that schlub.
Okay, but wait, if we're looking at history, haven't we seen plenty of women who look like they seem like they're in a different physical attractiveness category than their husband?
Sure, but his character was like whiny.
You two are perfect examples of that.
You know, no.
He was not whiny
and a loser.
No, he was a paleontologist. I mean, this man is a scientist. He's probably
just sounded like him for a second.
This man is probably making good money. I mean, look up what a paleontologist make. I bet it's pretty good money. She came from money as well. He was security, right? Rachel had probably dated so many guys.
I can't believe we're deep diving Friends. What is happening?
I'm just saying, so many guys who probably didn't treat her right, who only got together with her because she was hot, and they probably hurt her emotionally. And then in comes Ross, maybe not the most handsome man on the planet, but emotionally stable, interested in her. Sure, she's physically beautiful, but he sees the inner beauty.
He had no confidence. He was whiny.
Yeah, he was whiny. His voice was like nails on a chalkboard for sure. He's all nasally.
You know, I feel like if we pulled up sound of like the best of Ross on Friends, you guys would take all this back. You'd start laughing. You're committed to your viewpoint.
Okay,
without...
no, maybe they fed him good lines. Okay, that's great. Remember he was the Hanukkah aardvark or whatever?
Oh, yeah. What was that? The armadillo.
He wanted, you know, because they don't have Santa Claus in their lives.
Yeah.
So he would do the Hanukkah armadillo.
Yeah, he did it for like a kid. I don't know. I also lost interest in Friends. But Steve, go ahead.
Here we go, Rocco. Look, I just put it right there. No, play it. Just play it.
The best.
You cranky lobster. Just play it. This is the holiday armadillo clip. Ross is fully dressed as an armadillo and comes to the door and sees.
I thought you were going to play the best of Ross.
No, this is
fine. I'm just sitting through a Geico ad since I don't have YouTube.
Oh, bro, you got to get premium, man. Best money you'll ever spend.
Is it?
It is.
Holiday armadillo!
A holiday armadillo.
I'm a friend of Santa's, and he sent me here to wish you a Merry Christmas!
What happened to Santa, holiday armadillo?
Santa was unavailable so close to Christmas.
Oh, come in, have a seat. You must be exhausted coming all the way from... Texas.
That's funny.
Texas?
That's right, Ben. I'm Santa's representative for all the southern states. And Mexico.
See, look at that.
That's you funny. All right, you win.
We got to give it another
You win
shake.
This time. Good. All right, that's great. Anyway, Mindy, Kaling wants you to have your kids' eggs frozen.
Yes, and okay, we think Phoebe may have been a surrogate at one point.
And that's how we got to that's where we got we're there. Just leaving.
Okay. I'm going to Google Phoebe surrogate right now.
Yeah, I think it's got to be right.
All right, great.
This is how our brains work, Donna. We are stream of consciousness people.
By we, you mean you.
Yes.
12th episode of season 4, Phoebe agrees to be the surrogate mother for her brother Frank Jr.
No, ew.
Giovanni Ribisi.
No, I am not. I wouldn't. No, ew.
You were just very pro-surrogate. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's lovely.
Who? No.
Well, they don't have to, you know. I mean.
That's weird.
It's clinical.
She is carrying.
He is carrying her brother's child. Yeah, his sperm would be in with her egg. Or not her egg, in her womb.
Yeah, I know. There's something
and it turns
weird
out
about
they
that.
Had, she had triplets in like
yeah.
season 10.
Yeah,
or
never. Oh, wow, I never knew that. That's interesting. All okay, right.
Let's go back and rewatch Friends.
See, that's what I'm saying, guys.
All right. All right. It's a good. Where is it? Netflix?
I don't know.
It's moved around. I don't know where it is now. But you know what? I'll Google it. You guys talk.
All right. Serena Williams, we know a little bit more about her retirement.
Yeah, what'd she say?
Well, she is retiring, most likely after the U.S. Open, which kicks off at the end of this month.
Yes.
She would not use that word, though. She said she plans to evolve away from the sport to, quote, other things that are important to me. This sounds very Gwyneth Paltrow-y.
I knew you were going to say that.
Doesn't it?
Our conscious uncoupling.
Yeah. Just call it what it is. I'm leaving tennis. She said she's been reluctant to admit to herself or anyone else that she has to move on from playing tennis. Her husband and she hardly talked about it. It's like too taboo a topic. She said, I can't have this conversation with my mom and dad. It's like it's not real until you say it out loud and it comes up. Whenever it comes up, she gets uncomfortable. She gets a lump in her throat and she starts to cry.
You know, I kind of get why you would use the word evolve. Because think, when you're an athlete, she's so young. What is she? She's like my age, right? I mean, like for a retirement.
41.
She's 41. Okay, that's an early retirement age.
Right.
So to use the word retire feels a little final. Sort of almost feels like it pushes you into another age bracket that you don't feel like you really belong in. So evolving, she's a powerhouse. She's got different business ventures in different areas. And so she's like, I get it. It's kind of, you know, woo woo and something that would be said in 2022. But I also understand why she would choose a word
well,
like that.
Well, and she also says that she knows a lot of people who are excited and look forward to retiring. She said, I really do wish I felt that way, but I don't. And also her 5-year-old daughter, Olympia, wants a sibling. And she said, if I was a guy, I wouldn't be writing this because I'd be out there playing and winning while my wife was doing the physical labor.
Mm.
Huh.
That's an interesting point. That's fair.
So she started her pro career in 95 at the age of 14. She's won 73 single titles, 23 majors. She has 4 Olympic gold medals, spent 319 weeks as the number one player in the world. That's crazy.
Yeah, and there was a time where there was nothing more exciting in tennis than a Serena Williams, Venus Williams showdown.
Yes.
Particularly if it were in the semifinals or the finals of a major. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like a U.S. Open, like a Wimbledon, Aussie, French Open, stuff like that.
That's got to be, what do you do if you're a parent, you know, watching your two kids play against one another?
Yeah, great question.
Well, you know that whoever wins, you're going to be happy because it's your kid.
But you know you're going to be consoling and celebrating.
Yeah. And Venus, by the way, is one, was it 14? I don't know.
Is Rocco just making personal calls over there?
He's just hanging out talking to his baby buddy, Booze.
No, actually, somebody called in and wanted to know if Steve wants to go Bigfoot hunting up in the northern woods. We can talk to him.
Wait, why is it so random? Put him on.
Put him on. Put him on. All right. Yes. All right. Hi there. You're on My Talk 107.1 live on the air. What's your name?
My name is Steve Aiken from West St. Paul.
Oh, okay. Hey, Steve. Steve, are you planning some Bigfoot hunting up north?
Yep, next year in June.
Okay, why are you doing this?
Well, I've been doing the last 4 or 5 years. Me and my wife have been going up to the North Shore, and we stay at a place called Cliff Dweller, which is right up in Tofty, and I've been going out in the woods up north, and I've been doing vocals and wood knocks, rock clacks, and I've actually gotten that evidence back with those kind of noises. 5 minutes after I do them, I'll get a response.
Okay, wait a second. Okay, wait a second, Steve. You can't tell us about this and not give us a sample of that call.
Yeah, I don't have any recordings with me right now, but...
How would you call out to Bigfoot?
I usually do, like, I'll do a rock clack or a wood knock, or
any,
I do...
Any sounds from your throat and mouth? Do that one again? Do it again?
I'll do, like, a this kind of noise. It'll be... Whoop.
And we have to go because we have a commercial coming up here. But you have reason to believe that Bigfoot, if he exists, which is, you know, a lot of people have debate about, that that sound might be one that he or she would respond to.
And yep, and actually I've got two sets of footprints too to go with that that I've actually got casts of.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, Steve. From one Steve to another Steve, first of all, you know that we naturally just have an affinity for one another. I don't think that I'm going to join you on the trip. However, if you go and you find anything interesting or hear anything interesting or see anything interesting, call us back and we would love to talk with you about your experience. Does that sound good?
Because I know you had that run-in with that Bigfoot on Twin Cities Live that scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, that thing scared the crap out of me. That's why I'm not coming, Steve.
The guy from the jerky company.
Yeah, from the Jack Links. All right, let us know how it goes. Call back. When we come back, we will get into See Something, Say Something timely. That's next on Dawn and Steve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the show. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Oh boy, somebody saw something and said something.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Okay. You heard that Fred Savage got fired from Wonder Years, right? All your heroes, Steve.
That was such a surprise when I read that. It's a surprise all the time. But
okay, so you were a big fan of Matt Lauer. He went down. Then there was Mike Richards. He went down. Yeah. You really thought Fred Savage did a great job with Kelly on Live with Kelly and whoever it was going to be.
At that time, yeah. Yeah, people were wondering if he was going to be the next co-host. He was a great storyteller.
Well, Fred Savage was producing and directing ABC's reboot of The Wonder Years until early May, and then he was fired because of allegations of inappropriate conduct. So everybody wondered, well, what does that mean? And then we heard like he was a hothead. Nobody's really said anything about it until now, when several unidentified women spoke to Hollywood Reporter about what happened. And here's what they said. They said that Fred showed his absolute perfect best face to actors and executives. But crew members and other employees who did not have any power on the set often saw a darker, angrier side. As one of the women put it, his eyes would go dead. They said his conduct toward women ranged from verbal harassment to alleged assault of a former crew member. They say that he had an odd relationship with a much younger woman on the crew. He would supposedly buy her gifts and talk about their future together. At one point, she even moved into a house he was renting. But he was also controlling, manipulative, erratic, and she was afraid of him when he got angry. This woman that they're talking about did not speak to the Hollywood Reporter, but the allegations are coming from third parties. Fred, by the way, 46, married, 3 kids, and As for that former crew member, Fred was apparently fixated on her too. One night she went out with Fred Savage, if you're just joining us, and a bunch of other people. And then she says that he followed her into the women's room and tried to force himself on her. And then she got away. Several weeks later, he texted her to apologize. So now he has provided a statement to Hollywood Reporter, and he said, while there are some incidents being reported that absolutely did not and could not have happened, any one person who feels hurt or offended by my actions is one person too many, and I will work to address and change any behavior that's been, you know, negatively affected anybody, blah, blah, blah. Nothing's more important to him than being a supportive coworker and friend and husband and father and person. You think he's just doing some damage control?
Yeah, that's kind of how it reads if you're just looking at the words of what's been said. But, you know, that's if it's true, that's disheartening on a lot of different levels. You know, the idea that someone is someone to management and someone else to coworkers or crew members who would, in the power hierarchy of Hollywood, be below Fred Savage, it's disheartening in this way. I get it. If a boss comes into a room, we're not going to be being as stupid as we would be if they left.
Right.
That's a different level of comfort.
Sure.
But if it's a difference of personality, and if respect is different and all of that, and it sounds like people were like, this was a tale of two Freds, that's a difficult person, whoever you are, Fred Savage or anybody. And if you work with anybody like this, you know, if there are two versions of that person, that's troubling. I even find, on a much less severe scale, just inconsistency from someone is a real red flag for me.
Yeah.
And it leaves me, I find that I have a lot of difficulty developing a relationship with that person, because certainly not with ease, because you're just always thinking, is this going to be a day where they're suddenly off or treat me different?
When they're unpredictable. Yeah.
I worked with a guy years ago, who was so funny and gregarious and just talkative. Great storyteller, all this. And then every now and again, maybe once or twice a month, would just have a day where his communication with everyone was really snippy, was quick, was curt. You'd see him he would even do nonverbal stuff, like not quite slamming his door, but kind of slamming his door, kind of stomping through. And it's like, whoa. We can't just all sit here and pretend that this is
okay. Right. I actually know a lot of people like that. I feel like we're pretty stable.
That's how I feel.
I really do. I feel like I almost always know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And I think you do, too.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen...
Except when I forget my nubby. And then I get mad.
The nubby messes up anybody's day. But we never come in mad or...
Slamming doors or...
treating people poor. Look, we're not trying to prop ourselves up as some
angels.
Yeah,
we are.
Okay. But that the notion that someone would be, you know...
Like Krabby over there.
Oh,
you know?
This guy.
You never know what you're going to get.
He's our Fred Savage.
Yeah. You got to walk on eggshells around this guy. One minute he's like, oh, I'm having so much fun. And then the next minute he's like...
People recognize me.
Right?
You think about what Project Down and Dirty Film Festival is going to do to this guy. It's just announced today.
Can you even imagine?
A real problem here is that, well, it's going to be video. And so we are all radio people. And now we will be on video for this year's Project Down and Dirty, September 28th to the 30th. Rocco, who is a voice known around the Twin Cities, will become a face known around the Twin Cities. And this
could be my big break.
This is going to be terrible.
For us.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The event's going to be fun, but what it does to Rocco's ego, his poor wife.
Yeah, I know. We should get her on the horn.
Yeah. Like, how many times is he calling himself a lobster?
Oh, at home.
Is he wearing the clompers?
No seafood allowed in the house anymore. Oh, God.